God, we welcome you through your Spirit to speak to us. Open our eyes, open our ears to behold wonderful things from your word, from your law, God. And we just surrender our hearts and minds to you, to whatever you desire. And we thank you for what you're about to speak through your word. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, did you guys enjoy Amos last week? A few people. I just take that as you probably read the book, and it's a bit of a downer at times. But it has a happy ending. Amen. Well, we're going to be in Amos again, but I think you will like it this morning. Last week, we realized that God likes to shake things up. Remember that? And inside of that, it's our desire to be in a place or posture that says yes. Yes, shake things up in my life so that I'm prepared for what you want to do with me. Shake my life up and then build me up straight according to your measure, God, to your measurement, so that I'm not just blessed, but so that I accomplish everything that my life is set apart to accomplish. The kingdom of God can advance through me. Bring things out of my life so that you can bring things up in my life to use. Do you remember that from last week? Well, I'll say it was good. That was good last week. But you know, I like the story of Amos. Let's watch this. It takes place in a time when things were going good, when things were going well. Both the kingdom of Judah, where Amos was from, and the northern kingdom of Israel, where he was called to speak, were advancing their borders. Their finances were good. Their business was growing. Their population was generally happy for the most part. And it's at this time, so often in our lives as well, that the Lord speaks to his people. Because while things can seem good in the natural, we sometimes have departed from the Lord. We sometimes depart from the Lord when our eyes are not fixed upon him. And that's what is going on in this situation. God was calling his people back to a place where they belonged, to their purpose, to his plans and his kingdom. And watch this, the kingdom they thought they had never left. The kingdom they thought they had never left. In Matthew 13, Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to yeast in dough, in that it is a present and transformative force. Can you receive that this morning? The kingdom of heaven is like yeast in dough, that it is present and it transforms wherever it is. That if, watch this, if we're not being transformed, then we're either not a part of the kingdom, or we've been bound by something that is against the kingdom. I'm going to say that again. If we're not being transformed, we're either not part of the kingdom, or we're bound by something that is against the kingdom. And so we welcome transformation. Amen? We welcome transformation into our lives, knowing also that there are other forces in this world and in our own flesh, our own desires, that don't like to be transformed, that don't like that. And I'll let you know, you already know this, but no one likes to change. No one likes to change. That's not a fun thing. It's hard. My kids do not like learning to behave. If you go into the nursery or the kids' wing, you will probably hear kids not wanting to behave. And you should bless Pastor Josh and Connie for that later. Another thing is, I wish I could go to the gym and in one day get where I want to be. Can you hallelujah for that? That's a miracle you can receive. But there's a process to be transformed. It's a process. What is God doing in you right now? What is he pulling out or putting in? What do you need to press into an area that might be weak or a hard thing at this moment that he wants to make strong and overcome in? Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8 that bodily exercise does profit. And I'll just take a moment and say that gluttony is a sin and that we should exercise some. If you haven't heard that preached, there you go. But Paul emphasizes in that same scripture that training for godliness is superior to that. Because while our earthly bodies will break down over time, no matter what, our spiritual man, get this, can get stronger and stronger unto eternity. Make sure you're working out most what has eternal value. I want to read in the book of Amos chapter 7 this morning. You're welcome to turn with me there. Amos chapter 7. And we're going to read a few verses in that chapter, verses 10 through 17. Amos 7, 10 through 17. Here we go. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you. In the midst of the house of Israel, the land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, Go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah, there eat bread, and there prophesy. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you say. Do not prophesy against Israel, and do not spout against the house of Israel, or house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a harlot in the city, your sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, your land shall be divided by survey line, you shall die in a defiled land, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from his own land. Hallelujah. Is that encouraging this morning? You're probably thinking, how is he going to pull this one out? That is a rough passage of Scripture. And I'll tell you this, we take every passage of Scripture because God wants to speak to us through it. So this passage is right between the two passages we studied last week. So it's literally between those two things happening. There are things that happen between you being shaken up and built up and you being restored and blessed. And I want to look this morning at what happens in the in-between with just a shepherd. Just a shepherd. There are three main characters I want to look at this morning. The characters of Amos, Amaziah, and the Almighty. They all start with A, so you can remember them later if asked. Amos, Amaziah, and the Almighty. And I want to look at Amos first. Amos is initially introduced in chapter 1, verse 1. And it opens with the words of Amos. And his name means burden bearer. For any of you looking for a name for your next child, burden bearer. Just throwing that out there. So these are the words of the burden bearer. And it was Amos's job to bear the burden of spreading God's word to a people that needed to hear it. And did you know that is also your burden? It is our job, our burden to bear, that people living apart from God see and hear through us his calling to them. And Amos was from the country of Judah, which had a king who was under King Uzziah. If you've heard that name, probably out of the book of Isaiah and a couple other places. But it was prospering. So it had a king named Uzziah that was prospering. And not only that, but for the greater part of Uzziah's life, that nation had turned back to God for the most part. And Uzziah had many reforms that was turning back his nation towards God. But in the latter part of Uzziah's life, he became prideful. and tried to operate in the job of a priest, a job that had not been called to him. And there's a couple things there. We don't reach an age where pride can't get in. We don't reach an age where pride can't get in. And in this, Uzziah went against the command of God. And at this moment, get this, he was struck with leprosy. And we're building up to another point. That's why I'm bringing this in. So he went against God, and he was struck with leprosy. And many scholars, including in Jewish tradition, think it was at that moment of leprosy that there was a massive earthquake. And I bring that up because Amos mentions this earthquake that shook up everything. And it's recorded in several parts of history, both in Christian and Jewish traditions that associate large earthquakes with the judgment of God. We see that again in Matthew 27, 51 through 54, where at the death of Jesus on the cross, there was an earthquake. So Amos records that earthquake happening 2 years after he spoke these words. And number one, because God will always confirm his word. And the earthquake was viewed as a confirmation of all these things happening. Things being shaken up naturally and supernaturally, spiritually. And number two, Amos used this as a timestamp for people to know that all of this did happen, as was prophesied to. Because also, the Bible continues to be proven throughout history. That's a great point. The Bible continues to be proven throughout history. It's not just a spiritual document, but it is a historical document that has never been proven wrong. Sometimes people think they've proven it wrong, but another 100 or 200 years later, they come to realize that the Bible was right all along. The Bible is never proven wrong. Now, I want to take those thoughts as we lean back into chapter 7 and verse 14 here. Amaziah had just accused Amos of some things, and Amos answers in this way. He says, "I was no prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of a sycamore fruit." And so Amos first recognizes his place, that God has him. That he's only here because God called him to be here. He had no formal training or mentor seeing something in him and raising him up. He had the call of God on his life to do something, and he did it. And he just did it. Church, what has God called you to do? Are you doing it? Also, we need to see this, and this is an incredible point, I feel like, that this is a warning for Uzziah, who would have probably heard of this message to the sister kingdom because they were close. But instead of taking warning, taking heed, he failed to see that Amos was only there because he was called to be there. He didn't step out of his lane. He remained humble like a shepherd. He didn't live outside of what he was called to do and be. Uzziah didn't take it to heart. Uzziah wanted someone else's calling. And that can be a dangerous thing, to try to operate in something that you're not called to do. Uzziah had a moment where he could have seen the warning signs, but he chose not to. Church, what might God be warning you about? And have you accepted what God has called you to and what he's not called you to? We see that Amos had no training. And this is not a knock against training, because he actually acknowledges that some are brought up in the ministry to do ministry. So it's not a bad thing. He probably would have, in fact, liked some training. And we should seek after training for whatever God calls us to. But Amos is saying this in response to a different accusation about him. And Amos responds with, "Look, I'm just a shepherd. I'm just a shepherd. I feel like sometimes we can relate to that because we could be whatever else. I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy trying to be obedient to the Lord. And that is a great place to remain. Just a person trying to be obedient. I didn't ask to be used like this. I'm just being obedient to whatever God is saying. And I love the heart of that. Because God calls shepherds. He calls mechanics and plumbers and bankers and fishermen and hunters. Whatever you do, He calls people in it and out of it. And it doesn't say that Amos kept being a prophet, or if he did that the rest of his life. It doesn't say. But he associates himself in that moment with the title of a prophet, because that's what God had called him to in that moment. And did you know that God can use you no matter what you do for a living? Unless it's unbiblical. I'm going to put that in there. Just so you know. He can call you to full-time ministry or to missions, and that's a wonderful thing. But for most of us, He calls us to operate in the place that He has us and to bear the burden of sharing His word with those people. And He called Amos to a place as a shepherd to also operate in the gifting of a prophet, but the love of a shepherd. You have been given gifts through the Holy Spirit to operate in the place that you are called to. And God could lead you to another nation, or He could lead you across the street, but He's called you to operate in the gift that He gives you. Are you operating in that gift? What have you been called to? Where have you been called to? What gifts do you need to be operating in? For some, that could very well be the gift of prophecy. We had two words we felt like were from the Lord this morning. And again, those are not scripted. We see that spiritual gifts, according to 1 Corinthians 14, we're supposed to ask for them. Here's a real question. Do you? I'm not coming down on you if you don't. I'm letting you know and encouraging you, God wants to give you gifts. Will you receive them? He says to ask for them. Let's do that. God, we want your Holy Spirit to move. The gifts that we read according to Scripture, we want those. We want them evident, not just in a service, but every day throughout our life. Did you know God could put on your heart to pray for somebody at the grocery store and they be healed right there? Or He could give you a word of knowledge for somebody at the gas station. You walk up to them and they break down crying because God just spoke to them through you. Those sound exciting because they can be. I'm going to encourage you. You can do that. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. But God gives us gifts. And it's for the edification of the whole body of Christ. For the whole body. Don't rob someone of the gift that you have been given for them. I want you to think about that. Don't rob someone of the gift that you've been given for them, for their sake, for their blessing. And with that, you have to be a part of the body. It's hard to give gifts to other people if you never see other people. And it was the same case for Amos. He was called to call back a nation. His gift was for other people. And he did it with such humility. We see so many ministry people failing and falling right now. There's trouble just everywhere, it seems. It's because pride can so easily get in to all of us. Amos could have taken his newfound title and ran with it. Many people in the Old Testament did that. They were false prophets. But instead, he chose to associate himself with some of the lowliest people in the country. A shepherd was not a sought-after job. You slept outside, and it probably smelt bad all the time. And in fact, the language here implies that Amos was not even the owner of sheep. He was more like a hired hand. And God used someone that was willing to look after another person's sheep to go and look after God's other sheep. God can use whatever job you have in life and still use you to call his lost sheep home. That is our calling and burden. And not only was Amos a shepherd, but he also associates with a sycamore fruit. And if you're like me, you hear or read that, and you're like, what is that? I'm going to tell you, it's like a fig. If you don't know what a fig is, go buy and eat one. But this was like a poor man's fig. Not as much desirable. It's what the poor people of that region lived off of. So he's saying here, I don't come with money, education, or anything really. I'm not acting like I'm beyond my means or out of my lane. What you see is literally what you get. And I love that fact because as Christians, that's how we should be. We should be very real with who we are because other people see when we're not. And if they're going to find the real God, they need to see real people. But more than that, I love that Amos associates himself with a fruit. Watch this. A fruit that ripens only when it's cut, pierced, or pruned. You probably can feel where I'm going with that. And whether he did that intentionally or not, it parallels his life. That we ripen when things get hard. We ripen when things get hard. When you get pruned or pierced, you are supposed to mature. Does anyone want to mature this morning? It's quiet out there. It's quiet out there. You can shout an amen. I'm not going to hold you back. We want the Spirit to move in this place. But hard things don't only ripen you, they reach people. Hard things ripen you, and you end up reaching people. When you are obedient to God with a hard thing, others are affected by it. Church, don't be afraid of the thing that will eventually bring about blessing in your life and in others' lives. Like Amos, be a burden bearer. What an honorable calling that is. We mentioned earlier that Amos was responding not only to God, but at this moment responding to a man named Amaziah. And that's the second person we're looking at this morning. Amaziah was stirring up trouble. You know anybody like that, that seems to stir up trouble? See a couple hands going up. And there will be those people in your life, especially when you are trying to follow God. And trying to take a step of faith to follow him. I remember as a young man when I decided to get a degree in Bible without ever wanting to be in full-time ministry. And there were voices against that, including my mom. Because it didn't make sense. But watch this. I didn't understand God's plan. I only understood his voice. And that is an okay place to be. Because I'll be real with you, very few times have I understood all the plans of God. But every time I can understand his voice. Keep close to his voice and you'll be fine when you don't understand the plans. That is all you need. But with that, I'll say this. You better know that is from the Lord. And when you do know it, you better do it. God will come through. It'll work out. But Amaziah took some of the words of Amos. And get this. He twisted them out of context in order to get the king against Amos. And people will do that in your life. The devil will do that in your life. Words will be twisted in order to hurt you. You ever felt that? Has that ever happened before? It's happened in my life. I'm sure it's happened in yours. And that's why we rely on truth. We stick to truth because truth can't be proven wrong. And truth with love is where we want to be. And God will bring all these things to light. He will prevail. I'll tell you this, I've walked through several instances in my life with people that have lied about me or done other things. And in the end, God always defends you. You can count on that. Amaziah was the priest in a place called Bethel. And Bethel means house of God. But what was supposed to be a place that belonged to the Lord had become a place that belonged to a false god. Amaziah was the priest of the sanctuary of the golden calf. And if that sounds familiar, it's because Israel in their past had worshipped that golden calf before. You see, when we're not careful, we fall back into the cycles that we used to be in. And by name, like Bethel, in our lives should belong to God, we use as a mask to hide what we truly worship. We can be a Christian in name and worship God in name, but if our lives don't line up with that, get this, we're merely masking the truth, and then we get mad when God sends an Amos that loves us enough to say something. God will always show us our sin, but when he does, we either choose to be transformed or we choose to be conformed to the world around us. I like how Amaziah puts this at the end of verse 10. It says, the land is not able to bear all of his words. He's talking about the words of Amos. And that was true. When the word of the Lord comes, especially when you read the scripture, if people don't change, it's because they can't bear it. That's why people slowly stop reading scripture, or they slowly stop going to church. They become hardened so much that they think they don't have to change. And then the enemy plants seeds of truth in all of his lies. He's really good at deceiving. It's important that we not only know the truth of the Word of God, but know the heart of God as well. Know the heart of God as well to be able to understand the truth. It's one thing to read a book. It's another to read it with the author in the room. The Holy Spirit gives understanding. But get this, Amaziah was offended by Amos. And first off, don't be offended by the word of God. Don't be offended by God. But Amaziah was offended, and rightly so, because Amos told the people in chapter 5 not to follow or seek Bethel. Or in other words, don't follow Amaziah. He's a false prophet. And just like that today, there are still false prophets. They're pretty easy to find. But there are still false prophets because there are still true prophetic words coming through the Holy Spirit. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there are still words from the Lord that we listen and we critique to see if it is from God. But this is how offense works. We get so blinded by our pride and our feelings that we don't see the love inside of truth. So we deny truth, or we deny that the Holy Spirit speaks altogether. The body of Christ must pray not to be offended by each other. Amen? And when we share the message of God with unbelievers, we must go out praying beforehand against a spirit of offense. A spirit of offense wants to divide the body. He wants to divide the body from unbelievers as well. Offense divides, and we must be praying about it regularly. Not giving it glory, but just separating it from our lives. In the name of Jesus, we will not be offended. But even Amaziah here recognizes the Lord in the life of Amos. and the calling on him as well. He calls Amos a seer, which is another word for prophet that's commonly used in the Old Testament. But get this, even the enemy is forced to recognize the thing that God puts on you, the gift that he gives you, and the power that you walk in. He doesn't like it. He will try to get rid of it. He will fight it, but he is forced to respect it because it is from the Lord. Church, be confident with what God has given you and what he has called you to do. You preach to those who are already spiritual captives, but in hopes that they turn and don't go into even greater captivity. Israel was already a spiritual captive at this moment, but it was about to get a lot worse. They were about to be physically captive as well if they would not turn. Church, you preach the gospel. And you get to see people turn from death to life. And I'll tell you, that's not just a pastor's job or a staff's job. That's your job because it's the greatest thing you could ever do with your life. And every single person is called to it. Preach the gospel. There are two types of prophets here, much like there are two types of people. Like Amos, one leads people back to the Lord, even if they don't listen. And Amaziah, who leads people away from God. What type of person do you want to be? God is calling you to carry the burden of God, the word of the Lord, to all people. Can you receive that this morning? He's calling you. And there is a third person in our story that is calling you to complete what you were created for. For what burns within you, or for what you will find fulfills you like nothing else will. And some of us today, it's a cute little phrase, need to say all righty to the Almighty. Can you receive that this morning? Sometimes we just need to say yes, all right, let's do this. And let that go through your mind. I pray it does this week. When God calls you to do something, that phrase, all righty to the Almighty, will pop in there and you'll think, man, that was really annoying. But it's there now. But we need to say yes to the Almighty. Verse 15 says, the Lord took me. God wants to take some people today to a place they have not gone before. Or a place that they have been wanting to go, but that have been too afraid to say yes because what it might mean. And I want to tell you this. God wants to tell you this. This is what it means. It means that you will fulfill the calling on your life. It means people will come to the Lord because of your obedience. God likes to work through us. He wants to work through you. It says God took Amos as he followed the flock. You don't necessarily have to be doing something special. God will take and use you from wherever you are. You just have to be willing and obedient. God says to Amos, go. And in verse 16, God told him what to say and do in that very moment. And this is after he had already been obedient. So this is just in the moment, obedience to the Lord. Sometimes a faith step is required for the rest to fall in place. And someone needs to hear that this morning. Sometimes you have to take that faith step for everything else to fall into place. But again, make sure it is from the Lord so you can't say, Pastor Mitch, you told me to step out. I'm telling you to step out if it's from God. If it's from God. And then Amos actually has another word from the Lord at this point. For, and rather against, Amaziah. After what was previously said. And it's not a good word. It was that end of the scripture that we read a few moments ago. You see, Amaziah received what all the enemies of God do in the end. If we don't receive the life that God gives, then we receive death. But we are not the enemies of God if we are children of God today, if we've submitted and accepted to Jesus. God is always in the business of showing who he is. He's always showing who he is. That's why Paul says in Romans 1:20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." What's that saying is even the natural revelation of God in the beautiful world around us is enough to convict us that there is a God and that there is truth. And in this moment, God is declaring himself as the true king. Amaziah had told Amos in verse 13 not to come back to the king's sanctuary, to his royal residence, not to come back to Bethel, the supposed house of God. But Amos, get this, has nothing to do with that statement. He ignores it. Because he knows who the true king is, where the king is, and what the king wants to do. And the king is truly in charge. Church, sometimes you need to ignore the enemy or those people around you saying things that are not of God. Instead, listen to what God is saying and continue to go the direction he has set before you. Just be sure that it is him. The enemy will try and get you to believe that he is in charge, that you need to be so afraid of him that you can't complete your calling. And on the one hand, we recognize, like Amos's situation, that the enemy had an army that is far superior to a single person and is stronger than us. But what God is showing through Amos here is that with God, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Isaiah 54:17. The enemy will always try and take your eyes off of the truth and what God is doing, off of who God is and who God says that you are in him. So God speaks right past of all the lies, right past all the garbage, and to the stronghold that was there before him. Amaziah was about to be taken out. And when you come to or against a stronghold in your life or in our valley around us, speak directly to it by the power of God and remind it of its future. Amen. Ignore what it is trying to say to you and walk in the power of God and in the name of Jesus, who has all the power. And then you let God do the rest. By his power, strongholds are broken. Walk in the power and calling that God has for you. And then watch the captives around you be set free. Be obedient because God is using you to call and speak to people. You have the great honor of bearing the burden of the Word of God to all the people you encounter and to whoever else the Lord your God will call you to be. Church, be an Amos this morning, just a shepherd doing God's will. Can you stand across this place if you're able to as the worship and prayer teams come? The next thing that God shows Amos at the very beginning of chapter 8 is a basket of summer fruit. And what that meant was simply this, that the time was right. The fruit had ripened. In other words, it's just time. And I like that because I believe that it is time for us to respond to what God wants to do in us, in our families, and in our valley. Last week we spoke that there is a shaking going on, and we welcome God, shake us, build us up, make us ready for the time that you have set us apart for. Are you with me on that, church? God is calling us to the place that he wants us to be, to tear down strongholds that are before us, that he has ordained it is timed to fall. Today, if you need to respond to Jesus being the Lord of your life, do that right now. Receive forgiveness of sins and watch him work in your life. But in addition to that, if you need to say yes to what he is calling you to do, could be inside or outside of the job you currently have, then I want to ask you today, say yes. Say yes, God, I will go. Yes to walking in what he has called you to do, walking in the power of God for your life, and being used to call a great amount of people back home. Will you say yes to that this morning, church? And yes to strongholds being broken all around you. If you're needing to say yes this morning, I want you to come down. You can pray with any of the prayer team here if you need specific prayer for any need. But if God is calling you and you want to respond with a yes this morning, then come right here and say yes. Open your arms up and say, whatever you want, I am willing to do. Whatever that looks like. God, I'm just a shepherd who's going to be obedient. If you have a yes in your heart this morning, then come down and let's say yes together as we go into worship. Amen. Come now.